Hello, tourists. Welcome to tour number 90 of Disney Conversations. We begin a new series talking about how to plan a trip to your favorite Disney destination. This week, and for the next few weeks to follow, we'll start looking at how to plan a trip to Walt Disney World. This is likely the most difficult destination to plan for in the Disney offerings, if not anywhere else. We want to try and help you make sense of all you have to do to prepare for your memorable vacation. And joining me on this tour are our favorite tour guides, Diane Whiting and Mindy Muir. They will pose the questions that I will attempt to answer in a way that makes sense. Let me know if I was successful, will you? Jump over on our Facebook page, Disney Conversations Podcast, and let's talk about it. It's time to jump on this train, because we're ready to roll. All aboard! Well, here we are on Disney Conversations, and I don't know what happened. Somebody left the back door open or something, because for the first time in a long time, we've got everybody here. So joining me today is tour guide Diane Whiting. Hello, Diane. How are you?
I'm great, Matthew. How's it going?
Good. I'm glad you could join us today.
Yeah, me too.
And joining us once again is our own Mindy Muir. Hi, Mindy.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you guys with us.
Thanks.
We are going to start a new series to help people plan their trips to the various Disney destinations. Today, we're going to start with Walt Disney World, and the reason we're doing that is because it's probably the one that requires the most planning along the way. I don't intend to give you everything at once, because when I sit with clients, I can be a little bit like a fire hose. I can throw out more information than they maybe really want to know, but I'm throwing information at them that I think they need to know. Basically, I want Diane and Mindy to start things out by just asking me some basic questions. They're going to be the interviewers, and I'm going to be the interviewee. This could be fun. Or it could be tragic. I don't know. We'll find out. Obviously, the first thing you want to do is figure out where you're going for your vacation. In this case, we've decided we're going to Walt Disney World because, hey, that's what I know. It's what I love. Diane, shoot me with your first question.
I know the first thing that I like to think about after I've decided that we're going to Disney World, and that is, what time of year are we going? When do we want to go? And I know what I like, but I want to hear what you recommend to people.
Well, the tricky thing to that right now is the fact that the parks are busy almost all year round. But if you have somebody whose schedule is really open and available, there are still a few times through the year where the crowds aren't as heavy. So if they're open to that, I would still recommend January after the holidays are over. Well, really after the marathon weekend.
Yes.
And anywhere up to, with the exception of President's Day weekend, probably up through the first 2 weeks of March. Because then after that, you start dealing people with spring breaks and Easter's coming up and you got people planning that kind of stuff. So that tends to drive the crowd levels up a long way. So yeah, definitely figuring out when you want to go is one of the first pieces of information you need to come up with. And that's important whether you decide to book it yourself, or as I would prefer, you use an authorized Disney travel planner. And there's a benefit to using one of them, but we'll talk about that some more here in a little bit.
Okay.
What you got, Mind?
Okay, so that I love that, because we got to know when we're going, but more so, where are we going to stay? I think, you know, for someone who doesn't know a thing about Disney vacations, I see a lot of those questions like, what resort should I stay at? And that can get overwhelming. They have, 26 resorts at Disney World alone?
Right.
Disneyland has 3, but, you know, it's a big decision.
I agree. And ever since Disney World decided to get into the hotel business full blast, I mean, we all remember back in the 80s, you had three to choose from, and they were all over at Magic Kingdom. You had the Polynesian, the Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian. Those were your choices, and none of them were budget conscious. In the 80s, if you wanted to stay at a Disney-ish resort, Disney provided transportation from the Lake Buena Vista, which is now the Disney Springs area resorts, for anyone who stayed there. And on my first couple of stays, that's where I stayed. I stayed at what was back then the Hotel Royal Plaza was the first place I stayed. I stayed at the Viscount Resort, which used to be a Travelodge. I'm not sure what it is now. And I stayed at the Buena Vista Palace, which was a really nice stay back in the day. But it wasn't until my family and I made our first trip back in 2012 that we stayed on site. I didn't even know you could do that till then. But that sparked my curiosity to find out as much as I could about as many of the different resorts as I could possible. Today, we've got a plethora of resources. 10, 12 years ago, not so much. It was harder to find that information. You had to go to hardback books still, pretty much. And somebody actually handed me a photo's guide to Walt Disney World as a gift. I read that thing cover to cover in 3 days. And then I started planning our trip. But you're right. Figuring out where you want to stay is important. When you're talking Walt Disney World, there are basically three levels of resort. There's value level, there's moderate level, and of course, there's deluxe. I am not here to pigeonhole anybody into a certain category. I will sell them whatever category they want. But my job as their travel planner is to talk to them to the point where I have a better understanding, one, what they're really willing to pay for a vacation of this type. Two, are they more interested in price, or are they more concerned about getting the right value for what they're paying? And when you're talking Disney products, value comes into play a lot. I've stayed at both value and moderate so far. I have not done a deluxe yet. I hope to before I die. But I can tell you that the types of service you get might change a little bit, but the level of service from cast members, not so much. They all love it when their guests show up and they treat you like you're someone special. So yeah, figuring out where you want to stay is very, very important. One of the reasons I suggest using a travel planner, particularly a Disney travel planner, is that we keep an eye on the specials that might come along, the deals that Disney puts out. And lately, they've put out some really good ones. On the surface, they don't look as good, but when you dig into them a little bit, you find out they're better than what you think. I've got a couple that's going to travel in September, October this year. I'm looking for those deals to come along probably by May or June and hoping to be able to save them some money doing that. That's my job. A lot of people, now you can book this directly with Disney. If you're capable of doing that, go right ahead. But there's a lot to keep track of. And most people I know aren't going to go back in and try to fix their reservations if they find out that there's a special deal out there that they could take advantage of.
Well, I think a lot of people don't even think that that's possible, that you know, Disney is willing to do that. So that's important that they know that.
I think you're right. People in general don't track that. But those of us who are of the weird right. Disney addict societies, we keep track of every little tidbit that comes down the road. And now that things are ramping back up post-pandemic, it's even more important for me to keep my nose to the grindstone and keep up on what's going on. I don't always update stuff on my Facebook page and stuff. I do when I get the chance, but I still keep track of it. So if somebody calls me or sends me a text or something with a question, I know what the answer is going to be. That's what we do.
Well, I think it's important when people, you know, it's so overwhelming. I have friends that call me and go, can you help me plan my Disney trip. We're leaving in 2 months. Oh, I want to cry a little bit, right. But you know, I love to help people with information, but because each family, each traveling party, each group of friends are individuals, I think people really need to look at what is important to them. Do they care about the resort, or are they just going to be there to sleep and shower and yeah. get the heck out in the morning and head to the parks? Then it doesn't matter so much. If a resort is a huge part of your vacation, then you're going to want to, you know, spend some time there. You might want to look at other places besides All Star Sports, even right. though that is a great resort, you know, but if you want a very nice pool and a lot of sit down dining service options, that's maybe not the place for you. I mean, in addition to your budget, do you have little kids? Do you want a lot of Disney theming, or would you prefer to get away from that? How many people are in your party? Because if you have a party of five or more, that is definitely going to dictate where you can stay without getting right. two rooms. I mean, there are some resorts you just can't stay in if you've got more than five people in your party. So I think people really kind of need to know what they enjoy, what a vacation means to them. You know, how much time are you going to spend in the pool? If you've got little kids, that's might be the highlight of their trip, as disappointing as that is to parents.
Heard stories, a lot of stories, you know, families come back and you ask the kid, what was your favorite part? Oh, I enjoyed the pool at Pop Century.
Exactly. So if you know, you've got a lot of money in your budget and you want a great pool, maybe you need to look right. at Beach Club. You know, it just, there's so many things to consider. And I think that is what is so overwhelming to people, and where, you know, somebody like you can really help people navigate these waters and these resorts, and without people giving up and going, I just can't do this, because it is overwhelming. So, you know, potential first-time guests should not feel discouraged because they feel that way. That's just part of the process.
Finding somewhere to stay it's hard enough, like as a Disney pro that we are, trying to decide where to stay, let alone somebody who knows nothing about going on property, which is, again, back at you, Magical Matthew, why you need him to help you book that resort.
And I can book any place you want to stay in the Orlando area. I have access to do that. I choose to try and steer people towards a Disney property for a couple of reasons. I know that Disney has watered down some of the amenities a little bit. Do I think they're coming back? Yeah, I think they are a little bit at a time. But the biggest amenity that yeah. I see for staying at a Disney resort is you're there. You're there. You don't have to worry about how you're getting anywhere. Whether you drive, fly into Orlando, hitchhike, whatever it is to get to your resort, once you get there, you don't need a vehicle if you choose to not have one.
That is so important, especially, you know, you've all seen those lines trying to get into the parks in the morning, mm-hmm. those lines of cars that go back forever. And, you know, you're just flying by on the monorail or your Disney bus or whatever, and you're going to get dropped off right there, not at the transportation and ticket center. And it's a huge, huge difference, because I think by driving, you have added, and I'm not even talking about the time that it takes to physically drive from your off-property resort to Disney property, but the time it's going to take you to get through the main gate, and then let's say you're going to Magic Kingdom, then the transportation and ticket center, then you have to choose another method of transportation to get to the Magic Kingdom. You're yep. already an hour in or more of your day, and it's that valuable morning park time.
And you still haven't made it to the front gate.
No, and that isn't even talking about the extra half hour you get in the parks before they open to the general public as right. a Disney resort guest. You're kind of coming in behind the eight ball, especially That's if you true. Want to use Genie Plus.
I am kind of hoping that half hour is going to change back to an hour at some point.
I would love that.
But half an hour is so absolutely asinine. It makes you really can't even walk to the rope drop before, half hour's done.
It's
like,
an
come
okay
on.
Idea if the attractions
no,
are working.
It's
Our yeah. last trip, we went in early every day, and only one day were the attractions working the way they were supposed to be.
That's frustrating.
And like when you go to Magic Kingdom, you can only go to Fantasyland or Tomorrowland.
Right. So you have to make a big decision right there. What do you want to do?
Right. Exactly.
You're basically one attraction in and you're done, though.
That's why you want to choose your attraction carefully, because you want to make sure it's something that's worth using that half hour for. But we went to Tomorrowland. I think we were going to do, my wife and daughter were going to do Space. That's what it was. And I was going to take a trip on the People Mover because, hey, if I'm in Disney World at Magic Kingdom, People Mover is where I'm headed, okay? But none of those were working. Buzz wasn't working. The only thing operating in Tomorrowland that morning for us was the Carousel of Progress.
Oh, wow. See, and then the time it takes you to get from Tomorrowland over to Fantasyland means that that 30 minutes has evaporated.
The half an hour is not enough time. It's really one attraction. And it's, you get to ride that one versus, I know that's not what this topic is about, but it's rough when they take those things away. But Disney is bringing things back. So when we do stay on property, bringing it back around, if you do drive, that it is going to be free parking again. So that is a plus if you are choosing to drive. That way you can park at your resort and not be paid, you know, paying the $13.
And if you do want to drive to the park, then your parking at the parks is also free as long as you're staying at a Disney-owned resort.
Another reason why, and that's great.
Now, and the best park that I know for driving is beneficial that we experienced was Animal Kingdom. The car parking actually seems to be a little closer than the bus parking can be sometimes.
The bus parking is a hefty little trek. On a hot day in Orlando with
But if you're going to use the buses, understand they are buses. Schedules fluctuate depending on where the need is on property. A bus that was originally scheduled to go to Pop Century may be sent over to Port Orleans Riverside because they've got more people waiting over there. That's the way their transportation system works. That's okay. Some of us that live in metro areas and are used to transportation systems find what they're doing at Disney to not be a problem. If you get there and a bus is pulling off, you wait 10 minutes, the next bus shows up, especially early in the morning. Most bus times are scheduled to be around every 20 minutes. I have found that if you go out in the early morning, like if you're wanting to do early arrival to your parks or just get there before scheduled opening, whatever, the buses tend to run more frequently. A lot of times you'll find buses stacked up in any given parking lot going to the same destination. When one pulls off, the next one pulls up. And that's great. It's great that they do that. And they do the same thing at the end of the night when you're leaving the parks. They tend to stack buses up so that when one pulls out, next one pulls up.
I've never had a problem with their bus transportation, and there are a couple of resorts that, well, our one of our home resorts with DVC is Old Key West, and so that is bus-only transportation, and I've never really had a problem with that. They come in pretty quickly, and of course, now you can check on the My Disney Experience app when the next bus is scheduled and, you know, plan your run to the bus stop accordingly. If you're my family, you're jogging until the, you know... Hopefully not running after it, but it's not bad. And it still beats having to drive into the parking lot, parking, having to take a tram to the front of the parking lot. Right. You know, it's just a lot of extra.
If the tram is running.
That's true. Otherwise, you know, I hope you got your sturdy shoes on because you're going to be walking.
Buses are a great way to get around. If you manage your expectations, you'll be fine. It's not going to be 100% perfect. I had an issue with buses the last time I was there.
But, you know, I think that's a good point, too. Transportation, if that is an issue for you and you don't want to have to rely on bus-only transportation, stay at a resort where there's a Skyliner, stay at a resort where there is watercraft transportation or monorail transportation. You know, allow for that in your budget. Also, I think it's important, you know, to remember that some resorts are especially sprawling, like Caribbean Beach. It takes 25 minutes for that bus to go through the internal loop, as it sometimes does at Old Key West. So you may want a resort with a smaller footprint and one that does not share a bus stop with another resort. And these are just little things like somebody like you could help them with. If that really is a huge issue for people.
And that's why I get so frustrated. I have friends that call me all the time or send me a note wanting me to give them information on a trip they're getting ready to take. And my first question is, did you book your trip with me? No. But you want my information. I usually give it to them anyways, but I've gotten smart lately. If somebody shoots me a question like that, my first question is, have you booked the trip? If not, then we can talk.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, I don't, and you're willing to help most people as most of
us are. I am, absolutely.
Because we, you know, as Disney is in our DNA, the three of us and, mm-hmm. you know, the Disney community, we are the go-tos of help me plan. I think I got 4 messages this past week. I'm going to Disney. You're my go-to person. Like, we all get those. But at some point, you're like, okay. And if I were going to do it for a living, I wouldn't want to be picking somebody else's business up. So please, Magical Matthew, take care of them. I know you're going to do a great job, but use Magical Matthew. He knows what he's doing.
And if you know anybody that's going, send them my way. I'll take good care of them.
Exactly.
I don't get a lot of customers because I don't have a lot of time for advertising and stuff. I do work a full-time job.
Right.
But I'm going to be up front and honest. Retirement's looming, and I'm going to need something to do or my wife's going to kill me. So I just as soon build up a clientele helping people plan Disney vacations. Because the more I help them plan, the more I get to plan my own. And that's the only reason I'm doing it. Any commission I make is usually going back into my ability to make a trip. I don't really show a profit for this. I'm lucky if I break even. But it's money I can put into a travel fund.
Exactly. Right. And I think the important thing that people need to know is that you're paid by Disney. The people that come to you don't pay you for services.
So exactly. There are no extra fees whatsoever.
So it's completely free to get professional advice. And that's the best thing that you can possibly do.
And I'm going to get you the same price, or maybe better, than what you can get booking yourself. And the reason I say maybe better is because it's going back to what I said a little bit ago. I'm keeping an eye on things. If they announce a discount, the first thing I'm going to do as soon as I'm able is get on your reservation and see if it qualifies. They've even made it easier for me to apply those now. I don't have to sit on a phone for hours.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
I've heard horror stories.
Oh, there are. Yeah. Yes, there are a lot of. Well, dealing with the Disney websites can be a horror story all their own, but.
Totally. Completely.
And then there's using Disney's Wi-Fi. That's a nightmare in itself. So, you know.
I don't.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got our plans on where we're going to stay. But Matthew, my question is how long? And for the tickets purpose, like which ticket to get and how long? What's your recommendations for how long do you need to see Disney World?
The first question I ask somebody for that is how many days do you want to spend in the parks? My personal feeling is that if you want to spend 5 days or less, we need to talk about Park Hopper. Because it betters your chances of at least seeing all 4 parks for at least part of a day.
That's a good point.
If you're staying 6 days or more, maybe Park Hopper is an option you don't need to look at. Personally, I would still take it because I like to have that flexibility. I might go to Magic Kingdom in the morning, take an afternoon break, and head to Epcot for the evening spectacular, whatever in the world that's going to end up being here soon. I think it's important to understand that the maximum days you can buy is 10 days. And they all have an expiration date now, usually within 2 weeks after your last date. And I'm not going to get into all the different ways that's priced because, to be honest, it's confusing even to us sometimes. But suffice it to say that if you're booking a package, I'm automatically going to be able to give you the best set of tickets that you can get for the maximum usage during your time there. We tend to stay 7, 8, 9 nights, depending on when we're going. but we don't necessarily get a full 8 days worth of tickets.
Right.
As one of you said a little bit, sometimes it's nice just to take a resort day or take a day and do something else. If you're thinking about doing one or both of the water parks, there's an option for that that we can add on to your tickets. It seems a little pricey when you first look at it, but if you break it down, you're saving money because I think the savings for the water park is like 15 or 20%.
Right. It's a big deal.
Over that. Yeah, it's really good. And then there's a ticket level where you get both the water park option and park hoppers, which is nice to have too, because not only do you get the water parks with that, but you can do a round of mini golf before 4 p.m. You can do foot golf, but that does have to be reserved. We had difficulties finding times for that. I that's something I would like to do, still on my list. So if families are up for doing that kind of thing, I'll help them get it booked.
That's great. Because, you know, the first time I went to Disney World, Brendan and I went for 4 days, and that was not enough. And to do, like, we're big Disneyland people. We go a lot.
Right.
And 4 days at Disneyland, that's almost too much. You can see everything in 3 days.
Right.
And we thought, oh, 4 days will be fine. No, and you walk four times the amount, you're just exhausted. So get that extra day in there because it makes a big difference. Like, have a day off. Do 2 park days, do a day off. Highly recommend it.
The other thing I would like to suggest to people that they keep in mind, once you get there, if you don't have park tickets for every day you're there, but you've realized maybe you really loved Galaxy's Edge, we all do, but you didn't quite get enough of it, but you don't have you're going to run out of ticket days, go ahead and add another one on. Because the cool thing is, the more days you add to your tickets, the less cost it is per day. Depending on where you're at, like from day 8 to 10, the addition is less than $10 per person to add another day on. That's worth something. That's got value if you look at it that way. And the biggest thing I need to recommend to people is, if you're planning to go to Walt Disney World, do not wait to start that plan. Go ahead and contact a travel planner, me, as soon as you're ready to go. 6 months, 12 months, 18 months out. A lot of times we can at least start talking about what you want, even if I can't book anything yet. That way, when the booking window opens, I already know what I need to get for you and it gets done. And the great thing about Walt Disney World vacation packages is it's a $200 deposit. For that $200, I can lock in your cost. But the longer you wait, the better chances you have of seeing your resort rates go up. Ticket rates are almost guaranteed to go up at least annually, if not a couple times a year. The sooner you lock that in, the sooner you can forget about that part, because it doesn't apply unless you make major changes to your reservation. We'll talk about that another time. Did that help answer your question there, Mindy?
It did. Thank you. That's one of the hardest things to decide is how long and which ticket. So,
yeah, I think, you know, we are going in 84 days, not that I'm counting, but I have an annual pass, which I am going to hang on to for dear life and renew every time because, you know, Disney and their annual pass games. The rest of my family has gotten 8-day park hoppers, even though we're going to be there for 12 days. And we did get the water parks and more option. And I think that is going to be a blast because, and I'm going to ask you this question, the amount of times you can go to a water park is equal to the amount of days on your park hopper ticket?
That is correct.
So that's huge savings.
It works just like the old dining promotions did. You basically get one credit per day to use, however you choose to use that. Whether it's if you want to go to a water park every day, absolutely. You're entitled to that. They're called entitlements. So if you're doing a 9-night stay, you have 9 entitlements if you have that many park ticket days.
Okay, so I couldn't go to Epcot in the morning and then go to a water park in the afternoon?
Depends on the hours.
Okay.
It is possible.
Okay.
It is possible. If you take your suit with you and stuff to Epcot and you go straight over to if you're going to Blizzard Beach, I think you have to go to Animal Kingdom to transfer to a bus.
But how does that work? Because this is the thing that seems to be confusing, because I called DVC about this and I'm like, are these 9 separate water park admissions or 8 for our tickets and 8 separate theme park admissions with a total of 16 admissions?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to wrap my brain
around.
As best
as I understand it.
Okay. That's what I exactly understood it. Too.
So the water park and more, or whatever they're calling it now, sports add-on entitlements allow you to do one activity per day.
Okay.
If that one activity is you going to water parks all 8 of those days, okay.
But could I also go to a theme park all 8 of those days?
Yes.
Okay.
They are separate.
Okay, that's what I need.
For lack of a better way of putting, those are separate entities.
Because it seems like such a great deal. Like, that blows my mind that really the price isn't
that
much more.
If you have the time to go to the water park every day, you've paid for that ticket.
True.
One visit.
But not nearly as much.
Ticket.
Yes, exactly. I'm really looking
forward
to this.
But keep in mind, there are other things you can do with that ticket. Like I said, you can do the mini golf, the foot golf. I think you can even do 9 holes on.
Yes.
One of the courses there, if you want to. There are specific requirements for tee times, and I'm not gonna go, I don't really know all those because I've never booked one.
Right. And that's just that just covers your greens fees. It doesn't cover anything else if you need to rent equipment.
If you need to rent clubs or shoes or anything like that, that's all extra, correct. Yeah. This is just your ability to get out there and golf.
Right. So. It's still an amazing deal. So if anybody even thinks they're going to go to a water park one day, it's well worth getting that ticket.
My wife and daughter went 3. I went 2. We got our money's worth off of that expense.
I'm super excited. I haven't been to one of the water parks for years, so
yeah,
I can't wait.
The other thing I should mention, too, with your admission tickets is right now, anyhow, a park reservation is still necessary if you're going to Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, or Animal Kingdom. Rumor has there may be changes coming to that, but we don't have anything concrete. We're also hoping that they may change or eliminate the time for hopping.
They did eliminate that for pass holders, but that just leaves me free to do that. The rest of my family is stuck having to go into the main theme park in the morning and that they made a reservation for.
But I do know that Disneyland recently backed it up to 11 a.m. And we're kind of hoping that they'll follow suit at Disney World with that at least. I think that would be a huge step in the right direction if they did that.
Definitely. Because I'm trying to explain this to my family that if we choose to go to Typhoon Lagoon in the morning, then we want to eat dinner at Epcot that night.
Right.
They have to go to Animal Kingdom first, if that's where our reservation is, before they can go to Epcot.
And it's just crazy that even has to be done. You know, like I said, it's important to use an authorized Disney travel planner. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. One, we do training constantly. At the very least, we have an annual training that we have to do to be qualified to sell Disney products to anybody. Two, we have the ability to kind of look and see what availability is going to be. We try to get a better understanding of what the deals are and how they apply. We're here to give you the guidance that you need for your best days to visit the park. That's the other thing, is I can actually help you put a plan together, what we would call a touring plan. Yes, there's a company out there, but we're not affiliated with touring plans, at least not yet. Lintesta, if you're listening or interested. I can help you put together an attack plan for getting to the parks in a way that will hopefully allow you to get the best opportunity to enjoy the most attractions in the amount of time you're going to be there. We will look at Disney Genie Plus. I'm not a huge fan, but I have seen where there are benefits to that in a few spots. but we'll talk about all of that. And the reason we're doing this series is simply because I got tired of being the fire hose. People would ask me questions and I would just start spewing stuff out. I finally learned that in order to gain better understanding in the conversation, I had to actually let them ask the questions and then just answer the question. I'm a Disney history buff as well as a fanatic about the way things are now. And sometimes I had trouble controlling it. So I don't want to get too much into additional planning stages at this point, because there are a lot of details in putting a Disney trip together. And I'd like us to maybe continue stretching that direction as we move forward. But do you have anything you want to finish up with on this tour?
No, I think, you know, the most basic things for people to understand is, one, this is going to cost more than you think it's going to cost. So make sure that you have a very solid budget and right. or a savings plan. Plan your trip far enough out so that you can do those things and so that you can get the reservations that you want for what you want to do. Know right. what time of year you want to go and, you know what kind of vacation that your friends and family would enjoy. And Disney has all of that. You can go hard and go to the parks from morning until fireworks every single day if you want, or you can be a casual park goer and really enjoy the other things that Disney World has to offer. It is huge. There is so much to do. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand at first, but just get the basics down. Go talk to Matthew because he'll help you, because there's so much more involved in going to Disney World. There's even an app for your vacation, which I'm sure we'll get to.
We will definitely get in that, because you pretty much have to live on that thing to get anywhere.
But just know that with planning and with guidance, you will have a wonderful time. You will make wonderful memories. It'll be something that you will cherish in your family. And really, the only way that I see a lot of Disney vacations going off the rails is people who are trying to wing it for the first time or really don't know what's involved and don't have any kind of guidance. Then it becomes frustrating and difficult, and they regret it, and they end up spending way more money than they needed to. And there is a way to avoid all of that. So I know we'll help you, and I know Matthew is completely willing to help you.
Absolutely.
Give him a call.
I have a couple other things I'm going to do for wrap up here. One, I remember when you used to be able to go to the parks on a whim. You didn't have to plan everything. They had two queue lines. There was no fast pass back then. And you just chose a queue line. And back then the strategy was go left because everybody else was going right. And that worked. It really did. I couldn't believe how quickly I got on 20,000 leagues one day. But now it's not like that. Like Diane said, you can't just plan willy-nilly. You have to have an idea of what you're going to do once you get there. Can you still have a good time? The more you plan, the better chance you have of doing that. And one of the nice things about the way we can book packages to Disney World is that you make the $200 deposit, like I said before, it locks in your cost. But if you're someone who needs to pay a little bit every month to get it paid for, we can do that. Disney doesn't care. If it takes 18 payments to get everything done, as long as it's done 30 days before you leave, you're golden. And like I said, as a travel planner, I keep an eye on what's going on. You may have to book something now for next year and pay full rate for it to lock in what you want when you want it. But if there's a discount or something that comes out that I can apply to that and either save you money or get you a better value for the dollar you're spending, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that happens. That's what we're here for. That's what we do. And I don't charge anything extra for it. Like Diane said, Disney pays me, not the client. Contact me at magical_Matthew@outlook.com and let's get working on your vacation to Walt Disney World. I can put together a no obligation quote. The basics that we need to get started is, when do you want to go? What resort are we going to put you in? And how long are you going to stay? We have those three things to start with. We're off to the races.
And planning's so exciting. This is not a painful process. It's a lot of fun.
And I'm your planning partner. You can do as much or as little as you want to. There are some things it's actually easier for the client to do now with the way things are set up, because I don't have the free access that I used to be able to have when it comes to doing certain things. We'll talk about that later. I love helping people make their plans. I have sent many people who have had very successful vacations. It also helps that I work a regular job where I'm out at 5 o'clock in the morning, because when I'm working at 5 o'clock in the morning, I got a text from somebody last April, I believe it was. They booked a trip at 32 days out. I found them an accommodation at French Quarter under whatever the promotion was that particular time. I don't know how I got that. It just showed up.
Pixie dust.
Yeah. I booked it. They paid full price for it because they only had 2 days before it was due anyhow. I got a text asking me, what time should we be at the bus stop to go to Magic Kingdom? I looked at what time it was going to open. I told them to be there at 6:30 in the morning. You know, that bus pulled up at 6:45.
Yay.
That was strictly a guess, folks, but Disney buses aren't as bad as some people make them out to be.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either. I'm a bus driver, so, you know, yeah. I don't really care. In case y'all couldn't tell, Mindy had to step out. She'll be back with us again here in a couple of weeks, I think. Diane, I appreciate you being here. We're going to continue this discussion next week.
My favorite topic, planning a Disney vacation.
Hey, why not? We're good at it. All right, folks, that's it for this tour of Disney Conversations. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks again, Diane.
You bet.
Diane, Mindy, and I sure hope that this tour was helpful for you. If you or someone you know is planning to go to Walt Disney World, I'd love to be their travel planner. Contact me directly at magical_Matthew@outlook.com so that we can start planning your Walt Disney World vacation together. Next week, we're going to take a look at the My Disney Experience app and all that that entails. There's a lot of detail, but we're going to go over it carefully in hopes that we can all better understand all that it does. Until then, I hope you have a magical week.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.